Today, of course, America celebrates Father's Day. And it's right and good that we do that, especially these days when now more than ever we need to rediscover the true meaning of family, especially of fatherhood and motherhood. The meaning as being gifts from God, which are essential to the happiness of every human being. On Mother's Day, I talked about the greatness of being a woman and motherhood. Today, let's talk about the equal greatness of being man and fatherhood. When we read sacred scripture, we find that God uses various symbols and images to describe himself to us. Almost all of these fundamentally describe God in relationship to others, in relationship to his creation, in relationship to mankind, to Israel, to the church, to the individual. In fact, the very core of who he is revealed to us as a relationship, the relationship of the three persons in one God, the Blessed Trinity. And by far the most common image he uses to reveal or describe himself in Scripture is the image of a father in relationship with his children. But as we learn when Jesus comes on the scene, this is more than a mere symbol or an image he's using. It is really the way that God exists to his Son and to us. As Christ tells us, that God is, in fact, his Father and our Father. Now, of course, God's fatherhood is completely and totally unique in the universe. But the wonder is that in some small way, he shares that fatherhood with human beings in the gift of human fatherhood. The importance of this gift is borne witness to by the fact that for the Israelites in the Old Testament, God used human fatherhood to identify his people as his own. For example, in today's second reading, he speaks of Abraham's children. Abraham is called the father of the Jews, and he is also called our father in faith. And in today's first reading, he speaks about the house of David. David is the father of all the Jewish kings, even of the last king, Jesus himself. And the people themselves, the Israelites, were named after one of their fathers, their forefathers, Abraham's grandson, called Jacob, but also called Israel. So the very name of Israel harkens back to the fathers. Fatherhood is a powerful gift in Scripture. Now some say, Father, that's fine, but this is all Old Testament stuff. Jesus changed all that. St. Paul says in today's second reading that we read, there is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He did say that, but does anyone really think that Paul meant that there really aren't any males or females anymore? If you think that, then you need to go back and read the other things that St. Paul said, where he's very clear on the difference between men and women. Actually, what St. Paul is doing here is emphasizing that Jesus came to restore the original equal dignity that God gave to all human beings in the beginning, a dignity and equality that was blurred by original sin. And in Christ, as he restores the original equal dignity, he also restores the original differences and takes them from being a source of division between males and females, divisions caused by sin, like lust and this pursuit of power. And he changes those differences to be back the way they were supposed to be, into a source of the true union of love between male and female, the way God intended in the beginning. Now, this in no way diminishes woman or motherhood. Scripture is very clear. Again, women and men are equal in dignity before God. The first chapter of the Bible makes that very clear. It says, God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. Still, he created them as male and female, equal but different. God created each in his image, but that image is expressed with different gifts that he gives to women and to men. And without taking anything away from the fantastic gift of motherhood, fatherhood is itself a unique gift from God, to be like God as God is Father. Yet for so many people in our society today, fatherhood is considered a burden or even a curse. Everywhere you look, men are encouraged to do that physical act that is specifically designed biologically to make them fathers, and to do it whenever, however, and with whomever they want. But on the other hand, they're told that they have to protect themselves from fatherhood so that they can avoid becoming what that act is designed to do, and to protect them from that evil culprit called children. And so we have a culture that promotes contraception more than it promotes responsible fatherhood. A culture where too many men are happy to either leave the life and death of their unborn children to the choice of their mother, or to demand that their wife or girlfriend choose the death of their own unborn child, threatening the mother that they'll lose their man's love if they don't. A culture where too many men would rather buy a new SUV or a big screen TV rather than accept the responsibility and the expense of being a father. And if they do seem attracted to fatherhood, men are all too often taught to accept it only in the context of sentiment or fun. They're told, wouldn't it be great to have a kid? Wouldn't it be fun to take your boy fishing and play ball? Or wouldn't it feel great to have a sweet little girl throw her arms around you when you come home from work? That'd be great. But let's not get carried away, they say. Don't have too many, because that would turn the fun into work. And let's not do anything to make them mad at us, because if they're mad, then they're not going to have fun. So let's not discipline them. What's the point of having kids? How can you have fun with them if they don't like you? So don't discipline them. With all this, why are we so surprised when the culture starts to tell men, if it's not about having kids and it's just about the pleasure, then why in the world would you limit yourself to one partner or even to one gender if it's not related to being a father? This is the world we live in today. In too many cases, fatherhood is considered a curse rather than recognized as the original blessing. Is there any wonder then that good and decent men and women react against that demeaning notion of masculinity? Unfortunately, rather than searching for the true meaning of masculinity, men and women all too often accept the mindlessly absurd notions infecting our culture today, rejecting any sort of common sense notion of masculinity, and trying to recreate all men not in the image of God, but really in the image of woman. This is not true manhood. True manhood is rooted in true fatherhood. In rejoicing in fatherhood, and more importantly, in being good and responsible fathers and husbands. Of being a father as God is a father. But how do we do that? Well, the first step is simply open the Bible. The Old Testament is one long story of how God is the perfect father of Israel. A father who rejoices in giving life to his children, even filling the earth with his children. A father who gives his children everything they truly need. Who teaches his children how to live. Who teaches them what is right and what is wrong. Who's patient with his children when they make mistakes or sin. But also a father who constantly demands respect and love from his children. And who carefully though lovingly, disciplines his children. And even better, in the New Testament, we have the example of the Son of God the Father, who came to earth not only as a human being, but in particular as a male. And not only a male, but a living, breathing example of what it means to be a father like God is Father. As Jesus told his apostles at the Last Supper, "He who has seen me," he said, "has seen the Father." The life of Jesus is the story of how a real man denies his own selfish desires and gives up his life for those he loves, for his wife and for his children, as Jesus did for us on the cross. And to be a real man, we must imitate Jesus. As he tells us in today's gospel, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, you notice probably that I basically equated with manhood with fatherhood. And I did that on purpose. You might say, "But Father DeSalle, you can be a man and not be a father." You might say, "Father, you're a father, but you have no children." And I say to you, every man is created to be a father. Some, like Adam, will be fathers of their natural children. Some, like Saint Joseph, will be fathers of adopted children. Some who have no children of their own, for whatever reason, will be fathers in proxy to other people's children, exercising their natural fatherhood as best they can in the situation that God calls them to, by being teachers, coaches, godfathers, uncles, mentors, and leaders in society. And finally, some, like Jesus himself and priests, will become spiritual fathers, begetting spiritual children in the Lord. That is why you call me Father. Now, just in case I seem to have been chastising the fathers present today, let me say very clearly, I am not chastising you, I am praising you. Yours is a tremendous gift, and what a glorious thing it is when you use it well. Unless I seem to be speaking only to the fathers today, let me say clearly, I have also been speaking to their sons and daughters and their wives. To be a father, a true father, is a great thing. Men should aspire to it, but children and wives should also honor it. Scripture reminds us of this over and over again. "Honor thy father and mother." Wives, St. Paul says, respect your husbands. And this continues even when you grow up, even when you're 56 years old and your father is 91. As the prophet Sirach reminds us, "O son, help your father in his old age. Even if he is lacking in understanding, show forbearance, for kindness to a father will not be forgotten." To be a father is not something to be shunned or afraid of. It is one of the first and greatest gifts that God gives to all of us. And so it's not something created to abuse or to amuse. It's not about being God-like, it's about being like God. It is about losing your life to save it. It is about laying down your life to become the great man that God created you to be. It is about denying yourself and taking up your cross every day and following Jesus. Because he who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. And the man who follows Jesus follows the true path of true fatherhood. Praise be Jesus Christ.